man. Sit right down. Keep your hands up. Keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
We are back coming to you live and in living color from Tournament Da Pizza. What's up, guys?
What's up, man? It's good.
God, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I swear time flies. Life flies.
I don't know. It's felt like I've been since that fight on Saturday.
Yeah, fight was Saturday.
I've been excited to get back and talk about well, everything that's been going on.
No, I'm sure. And there is a great deal to talk about, starting with my dilemma. Or a dilemma, because I'm no longer, you know, doing the rankings for the UFC. But I sat there as I watched Alex fight. I sat in the press conference after as Alex talked. And there is some, what word am I looking for?
Validity.
Validity to him possibly being the pound-for-pound king.
I agree.
You know? I mean, yeah. The one thing that I want to be careful of is I and we all. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
You know, Kamaru fights in a couple weeks or months or whatever it is, and then he's the greatest.
Yeah.
But what Alex has done, and to arguably the greatest of all time in that division, mm-hmm. Dominant. That was dominant.
Yeah.
Three times in a row, dominant.
Well, no, the last one wasn't dominant. Yes. You know, some people even thought, you know, that Holloway won.
Exactly. But he pissed a shutout on Saturday. I mean, Holloway had nothing for him. He couldn't make any adjustments. I was very, very impressed. I thought after watching the last fight that Holloway's last two fights, the one he had against Volk and then the one he had against, I'm blanking on his name right now, but he put on great performances, and I thought he was going to come out and do a lot of good boxing and head movement like he had done. And Holloway, he couldn't hit him. He couldn't hit him, and he couldn't get out the way. So it was very impressive by Volk.
What was your thoughts?
I agree. I mean, I think, he's got the claim. I mean, I think, Who's going to touch him in that division? No, I mean, there's no one.
But I will go back to your point, Randy. As far as pound for pound goes, I think we need to wait until see Kamaru fight first before you can go and make that leap and put Volk over. Because if you go back, Kamaru's last three fights, he's been dominant and he's won those without a doubt. You know, the Colby one was a little.
Yeah, but you fuck Colby and Masvidal. And like, he's not fighting a Holloway who
but
is
you have to understand, it's his division. You can't blame.
Wait a second.
Right, exactly.
Wait a second. Did you just hear what he said?
Yeah, because he disrespected Colby Covington. Like, yes. He's not amazing. Colby Covington's a great fighter.
He's
a phenomenal fighter.
Like, it's the same thing that Holloway's run into. Like, there's that one guy that figures out your puzzle and you can't beat. It's the Khabib to McGregor. It's the Covington to Kamaru.
Hold on. You just said that Usman's not beating anybody when he's soundly beat the number two guy. Colby Covington would be your champion
for a long time
if Usman was not there.
I don't believe that.
Who do you think could beat Covington? Seriously. You may get fired today for stupidity.
No, I mean,
no one has come close.
Yeah, I mean, not for a long time.
Not for a while.
Yeah, there's nobody in that division right now.
For a long time. No, I don't agree with that.
Who's in? I'll give you the top 10.
So this is the problem, right? And we're going to talk about Izzy later. But this is the problem that happens.
Just remember one thing when you talk, Izzy.
Yeah.
I can do your job. You can't do mine. You know he said that, right? That's how he ended the press conference.
Oh. I did not know
okay,
that.
Yeah.
I didn't watch press conference.
Okay, we'll talk about Izzy soon.
This is what happens when guys get so great. You start to kind of brush off their wins because you're like, oh, there's nobody in there. Well, yeah, because he just beat everybody up. John Jones, for years, they said the light heavyweight division is dead. There's no parity. There's no competition because John was beating everybody up. As soon as he leaves, now there's all these guys who are like, wow, he's a good fighter. Yeah, they've been good fighters. But they had no chance to shine because they had that one guy in there that was sucking the life out of the division.
And I don't think that John should go up. I don't think that Alex should go up. It's not their job to go look for somebody to fight.
I think for them it's a challenge.
I understand the challenge.
Yeah.
But, you know, where they give you crap that, oh, you have to go up. Yeah. You know, it's one thing if they make the decision. It's one thing if Cowboy makes the decision to fight, not fight. But for fans, for the corporation or whatever, you need to go up because there's no competition. No, you need to find me competition.
Yeah. You know, the thing about it is the UFC has been so blessed with, you know, great fights and, you know, like great stars, really. Fans have kind of gotten kind of greedy, I think. And fans have gotten kind of like entitled into being like, oh, every time you step in there, there should be some kind of crazy submission or a crazy knockout. And you should, everybody should be a double champ. Like, those things are not normal. Like, they're not normal. Just because you had a Daniel Cormier do it and you had Cejudo and McGregor, like, those guys are all-time greats. Like, it's not a normal thing that happens that you just, oh, I won in this division, I'm going to go do it here. So it's one of those things where they've kind of been spoiled, and so it clouds judgment, I think.
And I know you didn't forget on purpose, but you did forget Amanda as well.
Amanda Nunes.
Yeah, you know, because, course. You know, people will come out of the way, oh, you
yeah,
didn't
it,
mention
it. Came in my head, I just didn't.
Spit it right. Out. Yeah. So it's not the norm. You know, I totally agree with you. So we're going to talk more about Saturday night's fights. We're going to talk more about everything that happened out in Las Vegas. A lot of cool stuff still to talk about. But we have another UFC this weekend, and it is kind of cool that it's every weekend.
I love it.
You know, for numerous reasons. We don't have to prepare to do a two-hour show because yeah. There's fights to talk about every single week. Getting back at it this week, and it's been a little while since Ricky's been on. So let's welcome back to the show Ricky Tercios. Ricky, how are you?
Yo, what up, boys? Chilling.
First and foremost, I just want you to know that I did, in fact, reach out and try to get a hold of you when the UFC was in Houston in February, because we talked about when you were on The Ultimate Fighter about going out to lunch. You were going to, you know, take us to a really good place that we were going to pay for. I just want you to know I did, in fact, try to get a hold of you.
Bro, I'm sorry. I missed y'all. Real talk. My bad.
That's all good. I know that. That is food, and I'm looking always for great places. How have you been? It's been a little while since we last spoke.
Going to eat at?
I'm sorry?
Where did y'all end up going to eat at?
I think we went to, it was a barbecue place that we met up with Eve Edwards. I don't remember the name of it. It was like the one or the two, but I was looking forward to what you and I talked about and where we were going to go. We'll still do it at some point.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll still hit up that buffet action. You know what I'm saying?
We'll definitely do. Another fight week. Tell us how you get through it. Is it, you know, and I always ask, you know, fighters this. Do you try to think about I'm 3 days away, I'm 2 days away? Or are you just blocking it out, blocking out what's in store until Friday night or Saturday morning?
Great question. You know, here's a good advice I got from the great Volkanovski, and it was, don't just get through fight week, make it count. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, like, even though we're on the final, we're leading up to the weigh-ins and everything, and then leading up to the fight on Saturday, you know, day by day, it's still little preparations for the fight. You know what I'm saying? Just even the smallest little 1% details, whether they're little technical things, but even two mental things more than anything as well. You know what I'm saying? Just those little extra little, ooh, that's a good idea. I just thought of that one right there. Let me go ahead and write that one in my notes. You know what I'm saying? Or just things like that. So for sure, yeah, like even though that the it's been a long training camp and everything, a long preparation, I've enjoyed the process. And then right now it's the final week. So, man, I'm still enjoying the process. I'm enjoying the process even more than I have. Every week gets better. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we all roads lead to July 9th this Saturday live on ESPN.
So let me ask you this, because I remember I went to a UFC in London, like number 37 or 38 back in the day. And a guy was one of the fighters, I don't remember who, was saying, yeah, I started putting too much into my mind. I had a plan. I had a set. And then I started kind of thinking outside of it. And it kind of threw him for a loop come fight time. Is there a possibility of that as well?
That's a good one. You know, well, I'll tell you what. a lot of my strategy usually revolves too with flow style, you know what I'm saying? So like I have the moves that I have set in my mind that I've drilled, but they always revolve around a flow style. You know how they say, how Bruce Lee said it, flow like water, be like water, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I have the moves that I've practiced in the gym, you know what I'm saying? I was like, oh yeah, I like this move, I like that move, we're gonna run this, we're gonna run that, you know what I mean? But for sure I always say, hey, we're gonna have to fight the fight that is in front of you, you know what I mean? fight the fight that's in front of you. You see the guy, oh, how long is he? How tall is he? How fast is he moving? What's the timing like? You got to read all that inside the fight, you know what I mean? So I try to do all, I try to do all that, you know what I mean, and go with that type of mindset. So I like to think that I'll be straight, you know what I mean?
Ricky, Caleb Benenock here. We know how big it is, of a deal it is, weight cuts in the fight game. It's getting more and more traction every time fights come around. What's your process like during fight week and it's time to cut down? Are you a big weight cut guy? You know, we have guys like Izzy who doesn't need to do too much and he's always under. Or, you know, guys like Khabib who early on had to struggle to get his weight down. Where do you kind of fall in that ballpark as far as getting your body ready for fight night?
Yeah, you know, I love staying disciplined with my nutrition and my diet. So shout out to Clint from the UFC Performance Institute for helping me out through the entire process after The Ultimate Fighter, showing me the new stuff about the nutrition and the supplements and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? So for sure, as I enter into this fight week right now, you know, it's going to be one of the best weight cuts I've ever done in my whole career. You know what I'm saying? For real. So, but it was the discipline with the eating and the supplements, but as well too, I couldn't have done it without the help from the boys from the UFC Performance Institute. So shout out to Clint. You know what I'm saying? I'm feeling great.
So fight ends Saturday night, 7:57, 8:30, whatever it is. What's the first thing that you're going to have that you haven't been able to have over the past 6-8 weeks?
You know, if I could be honest, I would say some of the things that I love to eat, I would predict a pizza and French fries and then like a triple stack burger perhaps with cheese and the sauce, you know what I'm saying? I think, and then I think that'd be kind of cool, you know what I'm saying?
So Ricky, this past weekend, Brian Barberina wins and he gets pizza from Tony Geminati, Pizza Rock, Las Vegas. When you win on Saturday, I want you to go into the Woodlands, RC's Pizza, and your pizza's on me.
So you want him to get on a plane first and go to...
Well, when he goes back home to Houston, you go into RC's Pizza, you tell him that I sent you the Naked Pizza Man, and the pizza's on me.
That's a bet. Hey, thank you.
Have you been there before? Have you been to RC's?
You know what? I've never been there before, and I'll tell you what, I just drove by it the other day, and I said, hey, you know what? I always drive by that spot, and I haven't been there yet. I want to go there. So it's kind of cool that you actually just mentioned it right now.
So Rick, I invented the pizza diet. I became a champion professional bodybuilder eating nothing but pizza.
Blah, blah, blah.
And my boy RC owns that spot in the Woodlands, and I know that's where you train out of. So I'll call him personally. I'll let him know you're coming to roll out the red carpet for you, and we're going to hook it up, man.
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate that.
So, Ricky, give me your thoughts on your opponent.
My thoughts on my opponent? Hey. All respect to my opponent, Ayman Zahabi, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I believe he a tough opponent. I believe he's my toughest challenge yet to this day, you know what I'm saying? Real talk. And I'm ready to face the challenge, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I think.
You know, so many times you fighters are asked, you know, game plans and this plan and that plan. And I always think, and I'm asking you this, how can you have a game plan when you don't know what your opponent's going to react to? Like, you could expect to do this, but if he does that, it totally changes what's next for you, right?
Correct. Yeah. That's, you know, like, that's what I said earlier in the interview. You know, I'm like, hey, let's flow style. We have to see what's in front of us in the fight first, you know what I mean? So it's like, I like the game planning. I have moves that I like. You know what I'm saying? What are my moves, my favorite techniques that I choose to implement? You know what I'm saying? Then we're going to see what my opponent does, and then we're going to go ahead and, you know, use the moves and react inside the octagon and make the necessary adjustments that need to be made in-game.
What can the fans expect to see when you get back in the octagon on Saturday?
The fans. Oh, man. Hey, shout out to the fans. You know what I'm saying? Hey, what can they expect? You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm going to go in there. You know what I'm saying? Keep my hands up. Keep my defenses in check. Run my attacks, my punches, my kicks, and my grappling. They can expect to see the fighting spirit. You know what I'm saying? For real. I always come in there with the fighting spirit, baby. You know what I'm saying? And, hey, inshallah, primero adios, I get the victory this weekend, you know?
Good stuff, Ricky. Best of luck on Saturday, and we will hook up. We will grab lunch in Houston coming up soon.
Yes, it's going down. Thank you.
All right, thank you for your time. All right, so speaking of food, here's something that I can really get behind. Eat to the beat. concert series.
Is that what that is upstairs?
I thought
Luis Palomino was coming into a walkout.
Our next guest is performing inside Epcot on the 29th and 30th of July. Let's welcome to the program Taylor Dane. Taylor, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. As we start to get back into, I guess, some form of being normal, how excited are you to get back on the road and come into Florida to the Epcot Center?
Oh, well, I haven't been there in a couple of years. It's really been unusual because Eat to the Beat is a big series that they have every year and at Epcot and Disney. And I think I've probably performed maybe 10 years at least. So with everybody back out in the road, and it's been amazing. Really, it truly has.
Will you have the opportunity to walk around Epcot and maybe try some of the other, you know, foods or whatever? And if you do have the time, are you able to walk around?
Yes and no. When my kids were younger, and, you know, I have 20-year-olds, so like I said, I've performed this festival many times. It's joyful. It's fun. People from all over the world and country come, and they've extended it from like a 1 month to now 2 months. Now it's like a 3 month festival. So it does so well. And yes, I do walk around. Rarely now, but you know, it depends on where we stay. You know, it's just huge. But I love watching the fireworks after every performance. They have, you know, there's such a family affair. It really is. It's amazing.
Not to go back in time, but let's just do it for a second. What was it like being Taylor Dane, walking around, living the life of Taylor Dane when you first released Tell It to My Heart?
Wow. I don't know. That's like asking any kid what it's like when you go into a candy shop, right? And your dreams come true and you can have anything you want. That's basically the feeling. You're just all of a sudden, there's nothing you can kind of prepare yourself for that other than you walk in, you know, next thing you know, you're on a plane to Germany, and then you're in Frankfurt, you're in Dusseldorf, you're in Cologne, you're just traveling, you're moving, and fans look like you, and they are screaming the lyrics to your songs. There's nothing that really braces you for that. It's the dreams and hopes and everything you put your entire, you know, all those 20 years before that I, you know, all my efforts and my desires, but I don't know what it's like other than to tell you that it's an enormous feeling and sometimes you can handle it and sometimes you can't, you know?
Sure. Funniest, craziest, strangest thing to ever happen while you were on stage?
I mean, we're going on 34 years. Let me think the funniest, strangest. Oh, I've had everything from people jump on stage, people come up, hug, you know, all that stuff. Anything that's like that. One guy came up and just was stripping and just go-go dancing. Had nothing to do with my show, but that's what he just felt like doing. stuff like that. It's just nuts. Yeah.
Great. What was the experience like being on The Masked Singer?
Oh, great, great show. Really funny because I did it really in the height of COVID and the protocol was insane, but nobody knows who anybody is. They are so really, really like, you know, we're in trailers sort of next to each other, but they do it in an ABC group. The mystery is phenomenal, how they keep it together, how we are masked before we even show up on set. Like, it's just incredible. And
how were you, you know, the popcorn? I mean, was it something that you wanted? Did they tell you these are some of the available costumes? How do you guys decide that?
We go through a creative process in the beginning. Well, I had the luxury to do that. I worked with, you know, there was nobody on the road. There was nobody on the tour. So you can imagine who creatively was now available. And we were in a very close set and, creatively, the costume designer that you're, I mean, she's won Emmys for work she's done. We had one costume originally we were talking about and building. You build it. And I just said, I think that's a little bit more obvious. And I think Popcorn was just this so, she was adorable. She was accessible and she was fun. And I really wanted that experience, you know, and we built around that. Like, that costume was not an easy, I had like a tan, you know, like a hula hoop around me at all times. So
right.
we really, and then, you know, the height of that mask is at least, I don't know, a foot and a half, 2 feet. It's enormous.
Definitely, it was enjoyable to watch. I hope it was just as enjoyable to wear that kind of costume. Curious, what are your hobbies, yeah. and do you like to fish? And I'm asking you for a particular reason.
I learned, what kind of fish? Deep sea fishing I did as a very young girl with my father, and yes, I loved it. I caught my first 30-pound cod, you know, off the coast of Massachusetts in Provincetown in that area, and I love it. I love the ocean. My hobbies are, well, first of all, I'm a big nature girl. So then I took up into Montana and Wyoming and certain friends, and I learned how to fly fish. And I learned, you know, really, so just some, I went so far as calling a bald eagle that somebody told me lived on a tree, and I called him, and I had caught a fresh perch, and I held it up and came swooping down all 6 foot of that and swooped down and took the perch out of my hand.
That's cool. That's cool. But the reason that I was asking is we broadcast in Tampa, St. Pete, and we have access to, and two of our fishing captains happen to be here today. So I don't know how much time you're going to have available when you come to Orlando at Epcot. So if you have the time, we can do anything from take you deep sea fishing here in Tampa, or I have a contact who is the head captain at Disney World, who could take you fishing the lakes of Disney, or you could go bow fishing here in St. Pete. So any of the fishing that you want to do, I'll have my producer give you my contact. If you have the time, we'd love to take you fishing either at Disney.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. This might definitely be, yeah. I would go out, I mean, like, explore. Woo!
Okay, well, when we're done, I will put you back on hold, and I'll have them give you my phone number or somehow so we can get...
Yeah, you know what? Joanne set this up, so I'll tell her. But, yeah, it would probably be after, you know, maybe the day after, you know? So they
perfect.
It's a pretty hard schedule, yeah. But that's amazing. That's so sweet of you. Thank you.
We will definitely do it. You'll have a great time. But real quick, let's get back to the Eat to the Beat concert series. What goes into preparing for this, selecting what songs? Because it'll be a shorter set, I would assume, than a normal concert, right?
Yeah, they really, we do three sets. We do 30 minutes, real hard. Like, if you see a clock, there's a huge clock on, like Benjamin in front of you, Big Ben. And, yeah, I mean, it's just after this many years, I mean, we've grown to love it. We brought all our families. Our kids grew up there. They're like, you know, it's just a lovely time to kind of, we sit backstage, we get through it, and hard 30. So be there and enjoy the food, the festival, and it's always a great concert.
That'll be awesome. That is coming up on July 29th and 30th. Taylor, thank you for your time. Have your people get a hold of my people, and you will go fishing when your concert's done.
I can't wait. Thank you so much, guys.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. That is the great Taylor Dane, and takes me back.
Yeah. You didn't want to exchange information over the airwaves?
You know, not only does she not want to give out hers, but I don't want to give out mine. It's even to the point where, you know, we're selling a property.
Yeah.
My daughter's leaving. I know we have to hit this break. Hopefully Taylor's now getting ready for her next interview. We tend to leave people on too long. But I went and I got a throwaway phone, you know, from
a burner phone. Oh, nice. He's finally getting with the time.
Yeah, man.
Taylor, how many burner phones you got?
Don't incriminate me on.
but yeah, I went and got a burner phone, and that's what's on the sign in the front yard. You know, the last thing I want to do is give out my info. But all right, we're at the bottom of the hour. Let's hit a quick break. Coming to you live from where? What's the stump belt?
But Tour de Pizza. Can I get the phone when you're done with it?
No. This is Knockout Radio. We'll be right back.
I got some stuff to the call.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Juice Newton, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Eight Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Eight Man Strong.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Just because you're in the backcountry doesn't mean you need to compromise on what you eat. Right On Trek adventure meals are better than home cooking. They're designed to be light, tasty, nutrient-packed, and easy to cook in less than 10 minutes. Enjoy an unforgettably delicious meal right when you need it most. Take Right On Trek's trail-ready, restaurant-quality meals on your next adventure. Pick them up today at rightontrek.com/meals. That's rightontrek.com/meals.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Billy Bob Thornton here, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
You are listening to Randy Harris.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm this is Knockout Radio coming to you live from Tour de Pizza. That's Billy Bob Thornton. That's his famous role in Sling Blade.
I don't know. We need to get some new liners that you're on Knockout Radio with Randy Harris and Caleb.
Caleb. Like, he's like a co-host.
Well, if he's a co-co-co, that makes you a co-co-co.
That's the guest.
Yeah, he's in the guest chair.
There's a chair between me and Caleb already. Like, it's just natural.
Right. It means you continue to move lower and lower and lower.
Oh, look at this guy. Look at that little guy.
A lot of stuff still to talk about. We still need to talk about Saturday night, which we're going to do. Michael Johnson coming up momentarily. But as we're waiting for that phone call to go through, do we have enough time to talk about the eye poke and the fans and I wish they'd all shut up?
Yeah, I think so. Me and you had a dispute over text when it happened, and I hope you've seen the replay and you've changed your mind.
I haven't changed my mind at all.
I think, personally, he was looking for a way out. I don't think. His fingers were straight up and down. Nothing went into his eye. It hit the corner of his eye, and it just looked to me like he was trying to tell a story.
So that's fake? So that photo's fake?
It tore his cornea.
The photo isn't fake.
Scratched his cornea.
What is in his eye right now? It's all on the outside of his eye.
No, the cornea is inside. It scratched his cornea.
Yeah, I mean.
Stop it.
Like, it's
what part of his finger is inside his eye?
Yeah, he got him. Right.
What part of his finger is in his eye?
Hold on a second.
No, yeah, he's pushed to his eye for sure. But I'm saying to the extent that he sold it, to like, I can't fight anymore. No, I'm not buying that.
I could see back in the day when they threw the beanbag, the flag, and it went through the face mask, hit the guy in the eye, and he went blind, and then he ended his career.
I'm not saying he didn't get poked in the eye. No, I'm saying that he could have kept fighting.
But first of all, we don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know.
That's my opinion.
No, of course. Crazy. And normally on the show, no one's allowed to have an opinion that disagrees with me, but you can. No, you can. I'm okay if you do.
It's not true.
But you're not allowed an opinion. But
it's not true either.
He definitely got poked, and we'll discuss that.
I sure did. That's not a dispute.
And we'll discuss more of that after our next guest comes on, unless he agrees with me, and then we can talk about it, you know, continually. Let's welcome to the program Michael Johnson. Mike, how are you?
Yeah. Hey guys, I'm doing great. I guess.
We appreciate your time. Just the beginning of another fight week for you. What's fight week like for you after many, many that you've been through?
The same. You know, a little boring, but more relaxing. And, you know, time to think about the fight and kick my feet up and get focused. Really repetitive, but happy.
You know, Mike, have you been doing this for a while, what is your motivation every single day to get up and have another camp and have another weight cut and have another fight week and go through that process? Is it still just that burning love to fight, or do you have to kind of like manufacture, so many athletes do after a while, you know, you still want to be a part of the sport. Do you still have to kind of find reasons to get up and new challenges, or is it still just that love that you have from when you first started?
And let me just jump in for a second. It almost sounds like you're asking yourself that question, Caleb.
Oh, it's something I think about for sure. 100%.
Caleb plays in the NFL, and so it almost sounds like that was for him as well. But go ahead, if you could please answer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My motivation is I still want to be a world champion. You know, I haven't completed anything I wanted to do in this sport yet. You know, I've been here for a while, but I need to get back up to the top, you know, become a champion, you know, be financially off, you know, everything like that. So that's my motivation to come in and to beat these guys that are just winning fights, but they're acting like clowns, and it's just ridiculous. Like, all the guys at the top of the division just... I don't know. They rubbed me the wrong way, and I need to get back up there and get them.
After this last UFC, and the one before that too, there's been talks about, you know, boring fights, right? Or like fights that aren't entertaining. When you go into the cage, the octagon, are you thinking, I need to make this exciting, or I need to go out there and win this however I can win it? What's your thought process?
My thought process is just go in there and enjoy the process, you know. Do what I do, you know, do what it takes to win, you know, stick behind certain things I need to do and not really focus on the end factor of actually winning. So, you know, if I do all the things in the steps to win, then, you know, the win should be taken care of. So, you know, and that's also one thing I don't have to worry about is having a boring fight because it's just not my style.
Right.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Mike, I was going to ask you to talk about Sanford MMA. You know, I don't think that you guys down there are getting the recognition that you deserve. And then recently I found out you're changing the name. So talk about, you know, the gym. And if you would, talk about the, you know, the name change.
Yeah. You know, the gym's always been great. You know, we've been down there since day one. You know, we're getting a lot of new guys, getting great facilities. You know, Stanford came in with a great plan for the team and ended up name changing it, I guess, working a deal with Killcliff. So now it's Killcliff FC, which is, I think it makes the team bigger, makes it stand out more, and, you know, just bigger things in the making.
It makes the Sanford MMA, you know, T-shirts now vintage.
Yeah, there you go. So if you got one of those, hold on to it.
Exactly. How do you relax, whether it's, you know, for the next couple of days as you get ready for Saturday or, you know, when you're back home, you know, do you do anything different to relax?
Yeah. No, nothing different. Just try to just lay back and chill, maybe take some naps here and there. You know, fight week relaxation is more just laying in bed, resting, reading every now and then. We are in Vegas. We're back in the casinos. I might go play some poker to relax a little bit. But, other than that, you know, just do things to kind of take my mind off of the fight and, you know, just to relax.
the fights at the Apex this weekend, obviously you fought in the big arenas as well. Is there a difference? And I know a lot of fighters have said, you know, they've been on the Ultimate Fighter, they've been on smaller cards. The Apex is the same as any other fight. As you walk out, does it feel different, or does it just feel like I'm going to work, I'm going to be in another fight?
Yeah, it's extremely different, you know, and if anybody says it's not, then they haven't fought in a huge arena. You know, you go to the Apex where there's not that many people in there, and then you go to the crowd full, you know, 10, 15,000 people, you know, you feel that energy, you feel that crowd energy, but also the Apex is great because now that we have fans coming, it's more of an intimate environment and like more close.
Is there a venue that you prefer? Would you prefer the bright lights or do you prefer the intimacy? Because there is an argument that could be made that when there's nobody watching, it's the sport in its purest form, kind of like when the NBA had the bubble. You know, so do you like the crowd and the noise and everything that comes with that? Or do you like to go out there and like, hey, me and you go out there and handle this and, you know.
Yeah. No, man. Big lights, bright city. Or was it bright lights, big city?
Yeah.
That's what I enjoy. That's the sport, you know, that's the pinnacle, to be in there to fight in front of, you know, 25,000 people. That's why a lot of us got into it, to have that experience. And you know, the Apex doesn't really give you that experience.
I personally, during the pandemic, I enjoyed watching the fights on TV when you were at the Apex, because we could hear everything. You know, we could hear corners. We could hear that kind of stuff. I know fighters would rather the fans there screaming and hollering and the woos and the body bags and all that stuff that they yell. But I enjoyed being able to hear, you know, corners and stuff, you know, as we were watching at home.
Yeah. And that's another positive about the Apex. At the same time, a fighter and his team, you know, they should have worked together for so long that it doesn't matter if it's 30,000 screaming people, they'll still be able to hear the corners.
Very true. What can the fans expect when you get in there on Saturday, Michael?
Expect the same Michael Johnson we saw last fight. Just going in there, you know, skillful, aggressive, you know, patient, looking for my openings, fighting a full, complete fight. 15 minutes, I'll be in there, you know, winning every position I can, you know, and making the fight exciting.
And I'll say this for you, the same Michael Johnson as last fight and the fight before and the fight before and the fight before. People, media, fans, everybody loves when you're in the octagon, Mike.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
We appreciate your time. Have fun on Saturday night. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a box of socks from Odd Sock Official, and a new sponsor that we have. It's called Right on Trek. It's bagged foods that are really for backpacking and camping, but I personally eat them in my kitchen at home. That's how good they are. So you're going to get a box of that stuff as well.
Nice. Perfect. Appreciate that.
Appreciate your time, and like I said, have fun on Saturday. It's fun time.
All right. Will do. Thank you.
Take care. Michael Johnson, the Menace, back at it Saturday night in the Octagon. All right, let's go hit a quick break. When we come back, we'll touch base. Not only touch base on the eye poke, but maybe I'll have Caleb eye poke Matt to see how much it really does hurt.
If he does it just like Sugar Sean did, he will be just fine.
Okay, we'll do that.
I'm going to throw a beanbag at your face mask.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Eric Moles with the Buffalo Bills, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
E-Tech e-bikes provides the best in quality, technology, innovation, power, and luxury. Eco-friendly, foldable, and powered by Baofeng Motors, Shimano Brakes, Tesla, and Samsung batteries, E-Tech bikes are ideal for commuting, recreation, mountain, or sport use. Built for optimal power and energy efficiency, E-Tech e-bikes have up to 100-mile range and speeds up to 30 miles per hour. Use our discount code 100OFF today at etechbikes.com. That's E-T-E-K bikes.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Taylor, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
What was, I think it was it on Any Given Sunday that Lawrence Taylor did the cameo in, and he says, you know, stay away from crack or something like that?
he was in Any Given Sunday. I don't remember if he stayed away from crack, though.
Well, it was there was a crack comment about drugs are bad or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
He would know.
Yes, he would.
Allegedly.
All right, so.
I like that, fun.
We got full segment. We'll spend the next hour, if need be, just talking on this one fight.
Really?
Yeah. You know, because I'm adamant in my feelings, and obviously Caleb is adamant in his. How many times have we talked about fighters that, quote-unquote, suck it up? You know, they get a foul, whether it's an eye or the groin or whatever, and then 2 minutes later they're knocked out because they can't see or they can't move, or they go on and get dominated because they still are in some form of pain. Now, again, you would know better than any of us, you know. Matt is 0% of an athlete. I used to be one in my younger days, but I'm old now.
Professional.
Yeah, professional what? Nothing.
You paid to compete.
I don't have a problem. I believe if a fighter is in there, they're there to fight. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody, oh, he's scared to fight. You know, they may be nervous. I wouldn't use the word scared. I find it hard to believe that a fighter that has fought X amount of times would use an eye poke that he can't see. And that it was revealed the next day, you know, the cornea issue.
Uh-huh. He took a punch to that eye also.
I'm sorry?
He took a punch to that eye also a minute before.
That could be.
Okay. But yeah, I'm like.
No, there's video evidence that he did get poked. How can somebody tell how deep or how this from
there's
a photo?
Picture.
Right.
You can see it. None of his fingers are in his eye. Like, we've seen bad eye pokes when dudes' eyes are red and there's this whole finger that goes into the eye and it's like a really big deal. We saw the championship fight with Valentina, the lady, her eye was completely shut, right? Mm-hmm. If that kind of situation, I understand. If Max Holloway can keep fighting when there's a gash and blood is a stream of blood is uncontrollably running into his eye, I'm sorry, you're looking for a way out. That's my opinion.
Because we really don't know if it was like set up that way. We don't know if they like, hey, maybe there's a little WWE to it. Maybe they like, you know, set up like, hey, we'll do this, we'll dance, we'll act like we're fighting, and
I need to turn this mic off.
Like, for me, throwing out theories, there's a thing in the locker room, right? If you get rolled up on, right, on a football field, like something happens, if you're on there rolling around like the world is coming to an end,
you better have
had an ACL or something crazy. Because if it comes back that you sprained your ankle, like a grade one ankle sprain, and you're crying around the field, they'd be like, what are you doing?
Well, the problem is they don't have the spray that the soccer players have, because those guys go down. They're almost dead.
They freeze
the leg, yeah. And they're back out running around like a monster.
So
that's what the UFC needs. Come over, spray the eye with some canned freeze. It.
Like for me, it's like you're in the tough man sport. Like, be honest. Like, you're in the fighting sport. You're in a combat sport. You're in a tough man sport.
Well, but it's changed now. Because guys like Izzy have ruined the sport of combat sports.
Stop it.
No, they ruined it. No, because those guys used to go in and fight till death.
Stop it.
Now it's a sport. It's technical. And he's the best. He's the best at it, but it's boring as hell to watch.
It's
ruined the barbaric, like how it started, like of who's the tougher man, whatever it takes to win.
It's called the best
fighter.
That's
gone. That's
the best fighter.
Now it's the sport where it's like, you might as well just be counting points.
It's the best fighter. You gave me a dirty look when I said I was going to turn his mic off.
Yeah.
Now can I turn it off?
Yeah.
No, it's okay. Awful.
Like, yeah, you're right. Your stuff is awful.
Come on.
Awful.
Come on. So you want him to run in there like Strickland and get slept?
The main card was no takedowns. Not one takedown. It's MMA. It's not a boxing match. It's MMA.
Hold on a second. Mixed martial arts, you get to choose what attack you want. So if Cannonier wanted to go take him down, he should go try. Marvin Vettori tried. Had that work out for him.
It's all.
Twice.
I'm saying it's boring to watch now. It's not the same as back in the day.
You think ground and pound is fun? You think somebody wrestling for... No, that's boring.
Mark Coleman, the godfather of ground and pound.
Nobody wants to see two people wrestling for 15 minutes.
I don't want to see...
I don't.
Nobody wants... In fact, that's his favorite sport. NCAA wrestling tournament.
I want to see high-level striking. I want to see feints. I want to see counters. I want to see somebody set traps. I want to see good jabs. Like, I don't understand.
I don't want to see Khabib lay on somebody for 15 minutes.
Okay, so
I don't want to see him holding people down.
I have a great point that I'm going to prove you wrong right now.
Okay.
Kamaru Usman was fighting and running through his division and beating everyone, and they said he was boring. Nobody wants to see him. He just lays on people. Nobody wants to watch this. He says, okay, fine. Guy, he says, I'm going to stand up, work on my striking. Guy started engaging him because, like, well, if you're not going to wrestle, I'm going to come engage you. You can't strike. He starts putting dudes down. He's the GOAT in his division now. The change was he went from, I'm just going to be a wrestler because I'm great at it.
Right.
And he said, I'm going to start striking. And people were like, hey, I don't think you can strike that well. I'm going to come engage you. He started sleeping him. And all of a sudden, he's not boring no more. He's a GOAT.
I enjoy both. I enjoy the striking.
Yeah.
I enjoy the ground game. I enjoy all of that. Was the Izzy fight boring? Yeah, it technically was. But the fight before it had no takedowns, and it was an exciting fight.
And
you can still have an exciting
and
fight.
He did the same thing with Romero. Like he did the same fight he did on Saturday. That's his style.
So
like, and I get it. That's
okay,
points.
So how about this?
It's points.
At what point in time does the opponent bear some blame? At what point in time does the opponent have to engage?
Of course.
Because you know what Izzy is. He's a counterpuncher, he sets traps, and he's an elite striker, right? He's going to stay at range.
Well, that's why Anderson was so dominant for all those years.
Exactly. They call Anderson boring too. They call GSP boring too. He's going to stay at range, give you leg kicks, and punch you in the face. They call GSP boring when he was winning all those fights.
Hold on a second. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I never said Anderson Silva was boring.
You didn't. People did, though.
GSP was boring as hell.
People said Anderson Silva was boring.
No, I'm just saying to compare GSP's boredom to anything Anderson Silva did is night and day.
I'm just saying at a certain point in time, guys who have tried to engage Izzy in the past, they get knocked out. So guy said, I'm not going to engage you. Robert Whittaker engaged Izzy, got knocked out. He said, okay, fine. I'm going to sit out here and try and outpoint you like you do to me. Because I know if I come in here, you're going to catch me faster than I can move out the way. I'm going to get slept. So why are you blaming the guy who won the fight? Because he did more than the guy who lost the fight, obviously. So you're sitting here blaming the champion, and it's like Cannonier sat out there. He's like, man, I can't touch this guy. If I get in, I'm getting knocked out and embarrassed. I'd rather lose by points than get embarrassed.
I was just talking about more of the shift of how the sports changed. It used to be first the bell rings, first, second. They both run to the middle, and they just start throwing
bombs. They've learned better.
Yeah,
now, but they've learned.
Now it's all set up for 25 minutes.
Okay,
all set up for points.
It's
all set up for setups.
It's
I
football.
Just turned him off.
No, it's okay. We'll have a discussion.
It's like leg kicks are only there to deaden the leg, so it takes away mobility for round five.
Okay, so look.
They're not going for the finish anymore.
Was football more fun to watch 20 years ago or now?
All day long.
You're living in the past.
All day long.
You think
I have a Bob Greasy Hall of Fame.
You think
football.
Basketball was more fun to watch?
Hall of Fame football. Bob Greasy.
It's okay. We're not having this conversation.
You're turned down.
You don't think the 72 Dolphins was the greatest team ever?
No.
No.
What?
No.
Undefeated?
No.
That means nothing.
Never been touched.
Do you think they could hold the jockstrap to Pat Mahomes' Super Bowl winning team?
Yes.
They would get beat by 60 points. What are you talking about?
Bob Greasy is greatest.
What are you talking about?
Shut up.
Magic Johnson's Lakers. Magic Johnson's Lakers will get killed by the KD Warriors. It wouldn't even be close. It would be unfair.
Now, I just want to show that I'm not taking sides, okay? I agree with most of what you said, okay?
Get
because Matt's an idiot.
I'm not an idiot.
But, yeah, you definitely are. But I would much rather watch the Lakers, Boston Celtics, Philadelphia 76ers of that era, and Detroit, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, then to watch, and Golden State would beat any of those teams.
Yeah, but I understand. It's a nostalgia thing. Like, that's right. What you grew up on. And like I said, like, sports usually
clotheslines.
Yeah, sports for me dictate, and it kind of goes the kind of era and the lifestyle, sure, of which the world is in at the time. So I understand, like, those things were great for then. But if you put that product, people scoring 75, 80 points in today, the NBA would be bankrupt. Before Magic Johnson got to the Lakers and he had his rivalry with
Bird,
the NBA was almost bankrupt.
Right.
Because nobody wanted to watch it. It was boring.
Right.
Nobody wanted to see people throwing fists. It's not hockey. I don't want to see you score 60 points and punch somebody out.
Oh, I
want to see I want to see flashy passes, three-pointers, alley-oops. Like, that's what makes it exciting. People want to see fun, not, oh, we're just going to go out there and no.
But you know, the other thing is, though, that you brought up, and that's why Clay Guida and guys like Clay Guida had to change their style, because they'd be in a nursing home right now,
exactly,
if all they did is go in there and brawl like BKFC, like Bare Knuckle did at the very beginning. Now with Richmond's and guys like that, they're going more into boxing than just street yard brawling.
Yeah.
You know, it's become a sport, not just a
street
fight.
That's why my new favorite sport is none of those.
Thank God.
That's okay.
My new sport is hot dog eating competitions.
Look at those old
boxers.
Look at those old, like, it's a shame Muhammad Ali isn't alive right now. It's a shame a lot of those boxers are passed away from Parkinson's, right, and, like, head trauma. And, like, all that stuff is real. Like, we had our old NFL players killing themselves left and right. Right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because of those issues, because you're saying you want barbarism and you want all this other stuff. Like, no, we're playing a sport.
Well, you know who
it
has,
can be beautiful,
you know,
and
has,
physical.
You know who has neck and head trauma today? It's the stormtrooper vegan activist that jumped on the stage of the hot dog eating contest.
Did you see that?
And
Joey Chestnut
choked him and then tried to
choke him
out
with one hand, hot dog in the other hand. He's a legend.
The greatest sport.
Yeah.
The greatest sport is the hot dog eating championship.
No,
at Nathan's
it's
hot
not.
Dog.
It's not, and I'll tell you why. Yeah. It wasn't on ESPN.
Well, it doesn't have to be on ESPN to be the greatest sport of all time.
Yes, it does.
That's the greatest chokehold I've ever
How
seen.
How can you watch when it's moved to ESPN News, like channel 12756? Yeah.
No, it's like Ocho or something.
And
like,
and yes, you can't find it. You know, I went to look for it. I couldn't find it. It was on ESPN.
Yeah.
Well, normally it's on ESPN.
They have like piñata, professional piñata, and like professional pillow fighting, and like there's all kinds of good stuff on ESPN Ocho.
Okay, so there's a question that came up when I was watching the NHL finals that I'm going to ask you that has stumped everybody I've asked.
Oh, I like challenges.
Okay.
I like trivia.
Who are better ice skaters, hockey players or figure skaters?
I'm going to say figure skaters.
Why?
Because of the things that they do on skates.
You don't think hockey player could do those things on skates?
Absolutely not.
No.
You don't
they
think
do the swan and like
you
the
don't think
triple axle.
So first of all, I'm talking about the men versus the men.
Oh, well,
the
you didn't say that.
Best
no,
work
no, but
that's,
no,
I mean, we have to be
you
fair.
Know, no, but still, the men do
the men are, don't weigh
you know,
90
hard,
pounds.
It'd be so
the
hard men, to pick up Vasilevskiy with like a skate, like his gear on, like this, hold him overhead and twirl. It's impossible.
The men still do the triple flux and all that stuff. I don't think hockey players.
I argue they could. The way some of those guys, obviously, if you're 250 pounds, it's a little harder. But those guys, I think a lot of those guys would shock you.
I'll take the challenge, and we'll get a hold of. We'll get a hold of the team at Emily.
Yeah,
and we'll ask what they can do.
Okay, that was just the thing I thought about. That
there's no way that the figure skaters are.
And it's something that
they have
that's
core strength. Yeah,
and it's something that's trained. You know, you're out there practicing doing. You know, there's one thing just skating back and forth, and I'm not taking anything away from that.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to do that back and forth at the speed, and you know, I still think shifts should go more than 12 seconds. I don't know, but that's just me. But the ice skaters, you know, do some things that I don't think these guys have ever attempted ever. So for them to be able to go and do it now, when you say do it successfully or attempt to do. A triple ambassador.
I'm sure it's not going to be as clean as.
Oh, I'm sure of that.
You know, but can they complete that task? I 100% believe so.
And I 100% believe
that. And I don't know that those, you know, the figure skaters could come into hockey and play at that level, but I think that they can go and do some of those things. And not at that level, but they can go do some of those
so
things.
So, in other words, you are using Izzy's line, I can do your job better than you can do mine, which, like I said, he said
no,
at the press
no,
conference.
No, no, no.
I guarantee you figure skaters will be able to go up and down the ice like hockey players go up and down the ice.
For sure.
Okay. I believe that figure skaters would be able to get drilled on the ice like hockey players get drilled on the ice.
I disagree.
No, they'll take a hit.
And stand?
Once.
Well, we didn't
those
say
guys, those guys take hits but, and they don't go down.
they got crowbars.
And they're skating with the thing. And it's hard.
No, well, Nancy Kerrigan, like, so breaking ankles.
Yeah, it's just an interesting thought.
It is. Honestly, it truly is. It's so interesting that I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
Well, and I know people to reach out to, ice skaters and figure skaters.
And let's throw in the mix, because of as much of athleticism and toughness it takes to achieve those things, ballerinas are to stand up on your tippy toes of your whole body weight, I think it's probably the greatest feat of a human strength that there is.
Yeah.
A ballerina, you see their feet are always
Did you see Steve lift the 350 pounds at the
I told him his form was wrong. He's going to break his back doing that.
It was pretty impressive.
Like Ronnie Coleman if he does it again.
It definitely was impressive. All right, let's go hit the top of the hour break. And when we come back, a whole hour of arguments.
Oh, I'm going to go get my Hall of Fame football.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.